Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, an architect finds that a building she visits may be trying to tell her something. Could a pillow be the reason everyone who sleeps on it has nightmares? The father tries to help his children reconcile from beyond the grave. And could it be that ghosts want to visit the battlefield of Gettysburg, too? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
Hello, and how are you this fine day?
Good. I had never thought about whether or not ghosts want to sightsee.
That's an interesting thing. I suppose that if you have all the time in the world,
yeah,
quite literally, and you can kind of go wherever you want. Although, I wonder how bound they are by transportation limitations.
Yeah.
Like, do you have to, like, hitch a ride somewhere, like, get a ride on a train or a plane or something to get from point A to point B? Or you suppose you could hoof it,
mm-hmm,
you know? But I wonder how that is.
I don't know.
If you're still kind of bound by the rules of this world, mm-hmm, of walking, and that would be a long time to get somewhere.
It would be.
Unless you're going to get in a vehicle with someone. I was interested by the headline about the pillow, the haunted, mm-hmm, pillow. It was making me kind of think about the idea of if a pillow's haunted, you know, especially like a down pillow or something,
mm-hmm,
we have like all the goose feathers in there, or possibly the old pillows, which I doubt anyone really has much of, where they used to stuff them with hair, human hair.
Right. And I don't know that it goes into much detail on the type of pillow.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I know there's some people that do collect antique pillows, which that just gives me the willies. Mm-hmm. That's too much dust mites and stuff for me.
And like I said, if it's human, if kind of literally part of people you're,
yeah,
sleeping on. So that's, I could see that, though, holding some,
mm-hmm,
some sort of something there. So anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would absolutely love to hear them. Rachel writes in today with our first story. Hey there, Tony and Jenny. My name's Rachel. I've wanted to write in for a while. My story isn't a crazy paranormal story, just something that happened one day while on a job site in an abandoned insane asylum. I'm an architect, and sometimes, depending on the job, we need to go to the job site to either survey or check on the construction process. At the time, I was working for a small architecture firm that was contracted to work on the redevelopment of the Western Campus of St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Washington, D.C. Being an architecture nerd, I was really excited to see such an old historic building. St. Elizabeth's Asylum opened in 1855 with a small center building that then expanded with the addition of maze-like wings on either side. The property, like most other asylums of the time, was self-sustaining. That meant there was a bakery, creamery, livestock, crematorium, and surgery rooms with seats for viewing. Notably, St. Elizabeth's pioneered the transorbital lobotomy. The hospital was also used during the Civil War to aid wounded warriors, and it's on the National Register of Historic Places. So you can imagine lots of creepy things occurred on this campus to be interested in. Our job on this particular project was to survey every single window frame and window pane in the four-story original hospital, 3,000 plus windows. Since it was on the register, we needed to preserve the windows, which meant they had to look exactly the same as the originals. Just to give you an idea of what the building looked like, it hadn't been used since the early 90s, and all of the windows and doors were covered with wood to keep out animals and intruders. It was 90 degrees outside, so that meant it was like 102 inside with no lights and no air. The entrance into the building has the year that the center building of the hospital was finished engraved into the doorstep, 1878. The last digit was worn away from the years of people entering. The only numbers that were left were 187, police code for murder. Great start before even walking into the abandoned insane asylum. Entering into the building was like opening up a sealed tomb. Never seen darkness so dark. We only had our headlamps and flashlights to see with. It took us 4 long, sweaty days to survey all the windows from the inside, and the entire time I was freaking out because it was so dark. You never knew what was going to be around the corner, not to mention the floors and walls were crumbling in some spots. Along the way, there were really creepy things in old patient rooms with drawings on the walls. Also on the walls were handprints and carvings. An old gymnasium, administrative offices, and common spaces were spread throughout the building. There was one room that had a bathtub filled with black water. The water was completely opaque, so anything could have been beneath the surface. Something right out of a scary movie. I never felt anything weird or paranormal while I was walking around inside the hospital until on the last day, we were on the outside of the building. There was a door half open to a tunnel that led from the creamery to the main hospital. This was used to transport meals to the hospital on a small rail system. The tunnel was really dark with a bunch of old doors and such propped along the walls. I took a picture because I love taking pictures of old things. I realized I forgot to turn on the flash. So I took another photo with the flash on this time. Nothing seemed too out of the ordinary until I took a closer look. At the end of the tunnel where there was another doorway, I noticed something in the picture's flash. There was a face turned sideways. It was clear as day. Shoulder-length hair, a nose and mouth. I asked the two other people I was with to compare both pictures, the one with flash and the one without, just so I wasn't losing my mind. They both agreed with me that there was a very noticeable face. Luckily, we were done in the building because there was no way I would have gone back in. I have the picture of the face and lots of other cool pictures in the building if you'd like to share them. There were a couple other stories I heard while I was there in the building from the property manager. Stories of orbs, earthquakes, and freaked out construction workers. I'll save those for another time, though, since this one was pretty long. Fun fact, the movie A Few Good Men was taped there. The exterior of one of the buildings on campus, I believe, when Tom Cruise is walking into court. Your show gets me through work every day. Even though I'm absolutely terrified of even my own shadow, I still love to listen. Hope to become an EPP soon. Keep up all the awesomeness. Thanks for reading this, and I hope to hear it on a future episode. Have a great night.
You know, I think it's interesting. It sounds a lot like the hospital that we drove by in Traverse City.
Yeah.
You've been there, but I wouldn't get out of the car.
Yeah.
And those self-contained properties, you know, like that, mm-hmm. where they just basically did everything start to finish, even cremated their own dead. I don't know. There's just something about that that's just kind of like, I don't know, like you go in and you're never going to get out.
Yeah, it's all a campus unto itself.
Yeah.
It's like a little world.
Yeah.
It's like what you'd have on The Walking Dead where they fence it off to keep the zombies away and then they kind of just do everything self-sustaining in it.
Yeah, it's that, like the prison.
Now, that would be the real shitty part of The Walking Dead. If you built your big wall around something like that, like, okay, we have this big fortress, and it turned out the fortress was haunted. So you had to deal with ghosts on the inside and then the zombies on the outside. I'm surprised they've never taken that angle on that show.
I think with what they're dealing with, they're like, that's nothing compared to what they're dealing with.
That's true. You'd have to get really bad on the ghost thing to even compare with the zombies.
Well, and then they just leave. I mean,
yeah,
you become nomadic on that show because you can't stay anywhere too long. So it doesn't really matter.
If you're a ghost and you're in the world of The Walking Dead, do you just give up? If you're like just trying to scare, like, fuck this, I'm not going to be able to scare anybody anymore. I mean, look at this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go sit over here in the corner.
Yeah.
These people are already freaked out.
We are officially out of business then.
That really would. It would put the ghosts out of business.
It would.
If the zombies came to life. Interesting story. So where it said creamery, that didn't mean...
Not crematory.
Oh, there was creamery and crematorium. There was both.
Yeah.
So they made their own milk.
Uh-huh.
And they cremated people.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully not in the same general vicinity or in the same room. It's like, over here is the milk being made.
It's not chocolate milk.
And over here is the people. It's like, what?
Why is chocolate milk gray?
Exactly. This does not seem to look quite right. Yeah. Although, I bet you back then there was no real OSHA laws or anything like that to prevent cross-contamination and things of that nature.
No.
In theory, you probably could have had some of that shit going down.
All kinds of crazy things that happened then.
Wow. All right, our next letter comes in. First of all, I want to say I absolutely love your show. I listen when I'm driving to keep me awake and just started listening at work to help me focus, believe it or not. I love paranormal scariness, so become an EPP as soon as my paycheck allows. Second, you guys wondered in one podcast about how lucid dreaming works. I actually put on YouTube for lucid dreaming, hypnosis, and astral projection sometimes. Some voices work so much better than others. Just a matter of letting yourself relax, I guess. Anywho, on to my story. I have many. I have dreams that tell me messages, like when my mother, who'd already passed away, came to take my daddy home. He passed a few weeks later. That's probably when I started paying attention to my dreams. I just can't interpret them correctly, unless, of course, my parents are in them. When I'm troubled to the point of wanting to give up on things, daddy comes to me like comfort, letting me know things will be okay. But when mama comes, always with daddy, I know that is a message to take heed, and it is usually pretty straightforward. I had a strong one that brought me to warn my brother to stop whatever it was he was doing. I didn't know what he had going on, but I distinctly told him they came, and that was what I felt I had to tell him. My sister had a similar one and warned him too. Sure enough, not too long after, months, he was busted and sent to jail. I've had dreams where I see someone who may not seem familiar, but the feeling I get tells me who it's about. Sure enough, every time I contact someone and simply say, what's going on, and find out they've been going through something. The home I grew up in was most definitely haunted. The life I grew up in was so filled with bad stuff that I have repressed memories which I have come to pray to get back. I'd have dreams of my house, which if you all know, a house or structure usually has something to do with your own structure, so to speak. Look it up if you want to make more sense of it than I can explain. Anyway, for years, it was just a vision out of a movie, camera zooming in from the sky and showing this little girl staring out with sorrowful eyes. I don't know that it was me. I don't think it was, but maybe the spirit of the house. I'm almost 40 now and a lot stronger. The stronger my will would become, the closer I would get to my house. In one dream, I'd be walking through the neighborhood and get a bit closer to be across the street. Then I'd walk right by the fence but never step in. Sometimes I'd walk almost up to the door, but stop short. I can still feel my chest tightening just thinking about it. Still, I pressed on with wanting to get some memories back. The more I prayed about it, the closer I'd get to home. Once, it's like I was lifted up to see the second floor. I think it had exercise equipment in there, something like that. Maybe that meant I was getting stronger, but still needed help. My relationships with my siblings has been strained, especially with my aforementioned brother. A couple months ago, I dreamed of some people working to rebuild our old house. It's condemned. I saw Daddy, but he just kind of walked by. Then I saw my brother, and he said, I thought you were supposed to be coming home. I was confused and replied, for what? I felt, for reasons I won't bring up here, that my family didn't care for me, that my brother hated me. So for him to say that was just unreal. A few weeks ago, I had a dream of holding on to some sort of ball of ribbons, like a bunch of ribbons have been twisted or wound or braided together into this tight ball, and something in my head said, cut the ties. Maybe a few days later, my brother finally contacted me on Facebook after I'd been sending various messages after I've been sending messages to various profiles hoping to contact him for some reason. We had a pretty good talk. He basically told me that he let the past go and there were so many misunderstandings between us. Anyway, I'm rambling on and getting emotional. I hope I made sense somehow. Dreams are stronger than people may believe. I'll share more stories soon. Thanks.
I love dream stories, but I hate dream stories because it could be paranormal, but you never really know. It's not the same as having an apparition appear in front of you and talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Only the person that experienced it knows because they know what their normal dreams are like and then how this is different.
Sure. In this case, we had the connection point of sensing, you know, they needed to speak to someone and then reached out. And sure enough, that person needed to be heard
mm-hmm.
at that moment in time. So that's interesting. There's the connection there. But you're right. A lot of it, you know, the vision dreams and things of that nature. You know, I think I used to have more things like that where there was like meaning
mm-hmm.
or like, you know, real, you know, kind of cryptic.
Sure.
You know, like where she's talking about like the ribbons or whatnot. These days, I don't really feel like I have a whole lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll have dreams. A lot of them don't make a whole lot of sense. But I also don't really feel like I'm getting, like, any sort of cryptic message or in it where my mind's trying to tell me something.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is. They just feel different now. They just kind of feel more pointless, for lack of a better term, which I suppose is not so bad. I used to really be interested in that.
And see, for me, I know it's a different type of dream or something that happened because I don't remember my regular dreams.
Sure.
You know, after about 30 minutes of being awake, they're gone. Uh-huh. I have no idea what it was. And no matter how much I try, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But there's a couple where I've had, you know, relatives visit me
mm-hmm.
and tell me something. Those stayed with me. So sure. I have to think they're different.
Yeah. And I agree. I think that sometimes, you know, you can certainly have those ones that mm-hmm. do stand out and are very different. I just haven't had really many exciting dreams. I don't know anymore. I kind of sleep.
Yeah.
And I don't really, I do remember them, but they're just kind of, I don't know, pointless,
mm-hmm.
which I'm fine with that. I don't need stress from my dreams.
No.
You know? Jeff writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. My story is from when my family and I were vacationing in the Philippines during the summer months. I was 16, my sister was 18, and our cousins that were with us were between the 18 and 23. One late night, while our parents were sleeping, us cousins were all staying up and catching up in the backyard and barbecuing. Next to my maternal grandparents' house is a two-story house that I never knew belonged to my cousins from my dad's side of the family till later. Anyway, that summer, my cousins who owned the house weren't in the Philippines, so it stood empty for many months and brought people to believe it was haunted. While we were all having some great laughs and telling stories, we began telling scary stories. Let me stop there and tell you about how we get water from the well. We use a pump that you have to manually swing up and down, and water will come up from the well. Most of the time, the pole for the pump is removable. Back to the story, my back was facing the neighbor's house backyard, and they have a manual pump to get water in their backyard that you can see during the day. Heard a little clank and ding as if someone was about ready to pump water. I ignored it, thinking that it was beer bottles. Then I heard the clink and clank of the pump going down and up once. Seems everyone heard it because we all got quiet. My oldest male cousin Jason left to grab a flashlight to see if some random person was using it. He pointed the light towards the pump, and all we saw was the pole of the pump coming slowly down. Jason called out, "Who's there?" And no one answered. The oldest, Janice, went to call her dad, my uncle. He came out, and Jason went with him to check. They were looking at the pole and around the area and saw nothing. My uncle took a step closer into the area, but once he did that, he grabbed Jason and ran around back to our yard. Jason poured water over the barbecue pit, and my uncle rushed us into the house. As we were scrambling to get into the house, we heard a faint but haunting laugh of a lady, like a witch. The girls slept in one room and the guys slept in the other, but we all did not get much sleep that night. The next morning, my sister and I, our cousins, and our uncle told my aunt and my parents what happened last night, and their jaws dropped. We asked my uncle what he saw that made him break. A run back. He said when he pointed his flashlight to the door of the house, he saw a witch that immediately made him run. My cousin Jason remembered the foul smell like sulfur when they were checking the area. We went to look at our neighbor's yard, and the pole for the pump was leaning against the pump like it was never used. Thanks for reading my story. The link is below to give you an image of what the pump looks like. I remember those pumps.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they used to have them at a lot of waysides.
Yeah.
Or rest stop areas. Do they call them waysides all over?
I don't think so.
Or just rest. We called it wayside in Wisconsin.
It was rest stop.
Rest stop in a lot of other places. But I always loved it because it was fun. You could sit there and get us kids just go and pump that thing like crazy until your parents told you to shut up and stop and get in the car. But I love those things. But that's also, it's a very, you know, it's an old piece. It's something that, you know, that's kind of the novelty of it. And it does have kind of that, you know, old creepy factor, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So to see one in the dark of the flashlight is kind of going by itself.
Yeah.
That's some creepy imagery.
That is very creepy.
So what do you think?
Well, I, you know, whenever somebody says they saw a witch and then it's accompanied by like a foul odor, mm-hmm. is it really a witch or is it something demonic and that's how it's choosing to show itself?
Sure. And how is the verbiage being used? You know,
right.
You know, is that just kind of like the term that those individuals are using to describe something scary and spooky?
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I would think there's something dark there. I don't know if you would, you know, witch is the correct term for that. I would think probably more so, you know, something paranormal, something not of this world is there.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, pumping water.
Yeah.
Would you take a cup of water from the witch?
I would not. Would not.
Dina writes in, I just got done listening to the story about the family that witnessed people in the backseat of a car that were not there. So this reminds me of an incident that occurred with my best friend Dwayne and me in Gettysburg. For years, we always took what we called our scary vacation. We did this for years, when you're going to Salem, Massachusetts, etc. So one year, we decided to go to Gettysburg. Our story takes place at Spangler Spring at about 8 p.m. In or around November 1st. After spending the day driving around the battlefield all day seeing the sights, we decided to pull into Spangler Spring as they had a little parking area. So as we're sitting there just chatting about our day and figuring what to do next, a car pulled up in next to us. We thought nothing of it. There was a man sitting in the car, and what was weird is we noticed three men just sitting in the back seat. There's nobody in the passenger seat, which being wise asses, of course, we cracked some comments between ourselves. So as we continued to sit there, we kept glancing over at the other car, and we both observed how the guys in the car next to us were just still in the same position. I think we said something to the effect that the guy was out taking his mannequins for a ride tonight. When the joking stopped very quickly, the driver of the car decided to get out of his car to have a cigarette. When he opened his door to get out, the light went on in the car. There was no men sitting in the back seat. We looked at each other and pretty much just had to look at each other and not say a word at first. Finally, we both said, "Wait a minute, there were three men in the back seat, right?" "Oh yeah, there certainly were. And now nothing." And in hindsight, we thought it was weird that these big men were all just crammed into the back seat, all sitting so still. Needless to say, it was time to get moving out of there. Oh, and by the way, we stayed at the Farnsworth House B&B, definitely haunted. I have stories about our stay there also. Love the show. I'm an EPP member, as is my friend Lisa, who I set up as an EPP for a Christmas gift.
Okay, makes you wonder, were they ghosts from Gettysburg, or were they ghosts going to Gettysburg?
Yeah, on the sightseeing trip.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be like the ultimate paranormal party if you can hitch a ride to that.
I wonder how many ghosts are like on like the tour buses that go around the country, you know, like they have a lot of elderly folks in, you know, in their retirement, and they go around and visit different places. I wonder how often that happens, especially if you're like taking along with your significant other. You're dead. They're alive. They're going on the trip.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's an odd thing to think about, but I think somewhat plausible for a place that could likely have some haunting. Anytime, you know, you have the living member of a couple and the one is deceased, I think you probably up your odds of there being something paranormal going on there with the other one still sticking around.
You think so?
I think that's very possible.
Yeah.
So I wonder if those buses have more passengers on than they're aware of. I'm like, what's going, who's in the bathroom? And there's no one there.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to use a bathroom on a bus?
Oh yeah, that's fun.
That's like the worst experience in the world.
It's a little easier for a female than a male, depending on...
Oh, we just sit down, too.
Okay.
I mean, if you have any sense, you would just sit down, too, because, yeah, otherwise it's going to be...
See, I've never watched a male use the bathroom on a bus, so I don't know how that goes. But for a female,
I'm sure it's on YouTube
not fun.
Somewhere.
probably. It's not fun. It's about as bad as an airplane.
I think it's worse. But if you're sitting, it's you know, it calms everything down a bit. but still, you're just, there's more jerkiness, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's not as many amenities either on the bus bathrooms, it seems. They don't have like, it seems like there's not, it's not always toilet paper. There's not always a sink. It's just kind of like, here's a hole.
Oh.
Kind of on a seat. Were the ones you went more luxurious?
Yeah, well, we had toilet paper at least.
We didn't. We just, they Jeez. Said, there was a sign that said left hand.
No, it did not.
Enjoy. Fiona writes, hi guys, my name's Fiona. I live in Hong Kong. I always listen to your show during work. I thought of calling, but international calls are quite expensive. Sorry in advance, sir. My English is not my first language, but I try my best to tell the story. So this happened when my parents and I were traveling to Xi'an in China. My mom and I stayed in the same room, while my dad stayed in another room all by himself. My mom was quite traditional. She'd knock on the door and let my dad open the door first before entering the room. That room seemed fine at the first sight. And we had done our usual routine of first getting into a hotel room. The air conditioner was functioning in the morning when we first entered the room, but at that night it was not working well after we came back from our sightseeing. We'd asked the hotel staff and technicians to fix it since it would stop and get too cold or too hot. My mom and I were exhausted. I went to bed after the air conditioning got fixed. I was sleeping on the bed close to the bathroom wall, but I kept feeling someone standing next to my bed and watching me. I could not sleep at all and got startled by the mumbling. I sat up on my bed and found out that my mom was mumbling, and it got louder and louder. She was lying still and facing me. She looked like she had a horrible nightmare. Then my mom's mumbling turned into screams. I jumped off my bed and jogged her awake. She opened her eyes and I could see the terror in them. She assured me that she was all right and urged to sleep, but I could see her looking at the bedside table and looked puzzled. Hence, I turned on the corridor light outside the bathroom, but it flickered there three times right after I turned it on. I didn't sleep well that night. The next morning, when we were having breakfast, my mom told me what happened last night. She said she could not tell if it was just a nightmare or real. In her dream, we were sleeping in the same room and same beds, but there were two men and a woman standing in front of the television staring at us. They were talking, but she could not tell what they were saying. She could see me tossing and turning in my bed, and one of the men tried to walk towards me. She yelled at him, and he stopped. Then they decided to come to her and move her underneath the floor lamp next to the couch. She could see herself on the bed and me on the next bed. She yelled more, but they were giggling and talking non-verbally. She said it felt like they were jeering her. That was a moment when I jogged her awake. She returned back to the reality and found out that the talisman she put on the bedside table had gone missing. She could still see three blurry figures standing next to her bed, and when I turned on the light, those figures escaped from the room immediately, hence those three flickers. After listening to my mom's story, my dad said that he heard a woman singing in the bathroom of his room and the sound of water running down. He stayed in the last room, and that room was fair spacious, and even if there were sounds from the next room, those would be muffled, but not this clear. But my dad, being my dad, he didn't get spooked at all. I were quite sensitive towards the paranormal things, and my twin brother always complains that he experiences more paranormal stuff when he stays in the same room with me. Thanks for reading my story. I'd like to tell you more of my stories, as some are quite scary. Hope I can make a call if I can afford a long international call.
That's interesting that this happened when she was with her mom, but then the brother thinks that there's more stuff that happens when he's with her.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you wonder if maybe there's something about her light's brighter or something.
The whole family has something going on.
Yeah,
that's attracting these sort of things. Interesting story. It's kind of like a haunted family,
mm-hmm.
if you will. And by the way, if you want to avoid the whole call thing, what you can do is record your story on your smartphone and then just email it into us, so you avoid the whole, all the long distance, all that. Email it over to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. It's that easy. There you go. We can hear your story.
Mm-hmm.
Sabrina writes into us, my family moved into an older house when I was just starting sixth grade in 1991. Upon seeing the house for the first time, I immediately felt that there was something just not right. The house was in northern Kansas City, Missouri. In a quiet residential neighborhood on a cul-de-sac, not long after moving in, there were strange sounds. Footsteps on the steps to the basement, creaky floors, and the sounds of a cup falling into the bathroom sink at night. We had a dog who'd out of nowhere sit up in the middle of the night at the foot of my bed and growl and bark at my dresser or something in that area of my room. When I was 14, my stepdad finished half of the basement. He built a family room and a bedroom for me, leaving the other side of the basement as a workshop. The basement always had a creepy feeling. It would feel like someone was walking right behind you, going up the stairs. At the base of the stairs was a door that led right into the workshop area. Many nights I'd hear what sounded like that door opening or closing, footsteps on the stairs and things like that. When I'd open my bedroom door to look, no one would be there. One night in particular, I was awakened by a horrible, loud screeching sound. It sounded like the water heater was being dragged across the floor in the workshop. I was terrified and ran upstairs. My parents had not heard anything. I was certain the whole street must have heard it. It was so loud. I didn't sleep in my room for probably a month after that. I told my mom over and over that I believed the house was haunted, but she always told me I was overreacting or imagining things. The kid across the street had told me that there had been a murder on my house before we moved in. His dad worked as mayor of the suburb of KC we lived in, and he claimed his dad had shown him photos of the crime scene at the police station. My mom said he was just trying to scare me and blew it off. I moved out when I was 17, but after moving out, my mom finally told me that she and my stepdad did know the previous owner of the house, that about 15 years before we moved in, the lady's husband had died in the house. She didn't have any details, so I asked my stepdad. He said that the man, in fact, had gone into the basement, sat down against the wall in what was the workshop area under the front door, and shot himself. I almost got physically ill when he told me the story. He and my mom still never believed it. It was haunted. But it all made a lot of sense to me after hearing the story. My neighbor had the story wrong. There was no murder, but he may very well have seen the photos. That street had about 10 houses on it. There was one house with an elderly couple whose son had committed suicide in the attic. They said when this happened, he came outside in the middle of the night and played the trumpet in his yard. Another house had an elderly man whose wife had passed, and he never moved or changed anything in the house after she died. There was just a lot of weird there. That's my story. I have much more, but thought that was the best to start with. I've often wondered if the new tenants ever experience anything there or know the history of the house. Love your show. Look forward to listening more. Take care.
I think, again, we've talked about this, that when you have somebody that takes their own life, I think it just ups your chances of a haunting by like 1,000%. I mean, they're just... It's so sad because they obviously don't want to be there in the first place, and they're stuck.
And they weren't able to escape in the end after all. I think that just adds to the frustration. I think sometimes that's where you also may get a very angry and frustrated ghost that some would then mistake for like a demon.
Yeah.
And not in every case, but I could see that just being a huge point of frustration for one who's in that state. So... thank you for that story and sharing that experience of the haunted cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
Creepy. Derek writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny. I have a good story to tell you guys, but a few months ago, my mom and I were going to work. We decided to stop at the store to pick up some stuff. Well, during the car ride, we were talking about how much I missed my brother-in-law. He passed away from cancer in 2006, and we were really close, and he was a huge jokester. So my mom and I get to the store, and I notice on the rack some wood chip sample boxes on the shelf that I made, and I thought that was really cool to see my work on the shelf. So after we see that, we head down to the bread aisle and we were talking about how much I missed him. All of a sudden, I feel a loaf of bread fall and hit me on the top of my head. I look at my mom and said, that was weird. Must be here, or Mike must be here. So we laughed it off and we get to work. But when we get to work, stuff started happening, like weird stuff. My mom and I were working on an order we had to rush. Now the wood chips weren't sealed up yet. All of a sudden, they fall off the table and now the wood chips are splattered on the floor. No explanation. We placed them in the middle of the table so they couldn't fall off. My mom says, Mike, please stop messing with us. We have a huge order to get out today. And it stops right after she says that. It's like Mike wants me to know, hey kid, I'm fine where I am. And I thought that was really cool. I only told my sister right after that happened and nobody else. She just smiled at me and said, yep, that's definitely my husband. He's also watching over my sister, which we all already knew about. So that's my ghost story. Hope this gets on your show. My subscription is about to end, but I'm going to resubscribe to be an EPP right after that because I love listening to you guys every single day. Bye.
I don't know if it helps that you can say their name and tell them to stop or, you know, or whatever. I think in some cases it's better to not know who's haunting you.
Sure.
I mean, don't you think?
I think in some cases. Mm-hmm. And in other cases, you know, I think it may get the thing to stop because you're showing recognition and it's, oh, it does know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just, whoever you are, stop.
Yeah.
It may not stop. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, try and figure this out. Like, let's play a word game, you know, and then they, you know, eventually figure it out. But when you're just able to flat out say it, maybe that's just what's wanted.
Sure.
By the ghost. So that's a good story. Thank you for sharing that that with us. Dave says, hey, Tony and Jenny, love you and the show. We are about the same age, Tony. I worked in radio here where I live in Western Mass, and I can relate to all of the songs you talk about having to play in the late 90s. I remember One Headlight, 3 a.m., and Torn is some of the highlights of my tenure doing overnights. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I remember those songs being very popular doing overnights when I would fill in Green Bay at WIXX. And it was like, okay, we're playing 3 a.m. again. It would be like kind of like every other hour because it was such a popular song. Anyway, I'd like to tell you some of my stories from childhood. I'll split these up into segments so that they don't get too long. Perhaps I should start with the stories before I got here, particularly the ones dealing with my parents and their supernatural experiences. The most intriguing have to do with my mother and father and the times that they used or were around people using a Ouija board. My father was in college in Eastern Mass, and some of the guys in his dorm decided to fool around with the board. They were asking it different questions, getting typical answers and just having a really good time. One of them decided to go and get my father, who was in his room. When he entered the room where the Ouija board was, the planchette suddenly stopped. The men continued asking questions, and it would not move. This continued until my father got bored and left about 10 minutes later. After he left the room, the planchette began to move again and seemed perfectly fine. It should be noted that at this time, my father was studying to enter the seminary. He has been a minister for over 40 years. My mother's first experience with the Ouija board came when she received one for her 16th birthday. It was one of those things that seemed harmless at the time, and the girls at her party joined her in asking the typical questions. Who are you? Who will I marry? You know how it goes. Anyway, they were getting answers to all their questions and seemed to be doing quite well until the planchette stopped moving. Like it hit a wall. Just a dead stop. Then my mother says that it began to spell out a message. The message read, "Do not use this board, for you are my children." Being a spiritual woman, my mother believes that message came from God or maybe one of his angels. After that message, they packed up the board and she kept it on the shelf in her attic room. As she tells it, every night that she had the board in her room, she would hear footsteps coming from the stairs to the landing. And just when it should be that she should see someone, the steps would stop. She continues until the day, or this continued until the day she decided to burn the board. According to her, it burned just fine and she never had any trouble after that. Thanks for listening. Love the stories and the teasing. Though I burst a blood vessel every time you folks can't name a piece of 80s or 90s pop culture that I know. I just want to call you immediately and tell you, but I'm listening weeks later. Oh, well, have a great night. Dave from Greenfield, Massachusetts.
Don't burn your Ouija boards. Just don't do it.
It worked out okay here.
It did, but if there's something attached to it or something brought in, there's no way to close that conversation, and you might release something.
It could go into something else, like a Candyland board.
And good luck figuring out what that other object might be.
No one's Candyland for being some sort of demonically possessed game.
No.
All of a sudden, the little green and red and yellow and blue men start moving around by themselves, taking the rainbow slide to Cherry Lollipop Land.
Okay.
I can't remember what they were all called. I used to love playing Candyland. I knew what they were all called. There's like a candy cane village. There's like a mudslide mountain or something. It's like chocolate and I don't.
Yeah.
It's good times.
I don't know. I don't play that one. If I can, I choose a different game to play with the girls I just don't like Candyland.
Do you get bad vibes from Candyland?
No, I just don't like it.
Because
just,
they beat you.
I'd rather play something that I think is more fun because that's how I roll.
Yeah, because you're going to beat them in Trivial Pursuit.
No, no. I'd rather play Guess Who or Connect Four. That's more fun.
Hey, girls, let's play 90s trivia.
Right.
Speaking of, they're talking about 90s stuff in here. This is an interesting little tidbit that I was reading about today and actually saw a video on. There's a pop-up restaurant that's in Chicago throughout the summer. And it is the Max from Saved by the Bell.
Okay.
Remember the Max? Mm-hmm. That restaurant that they went to? The mm-hmm. little, you know, the cafe yeah. type deal? And the person who put it together is the one who played Max on Saved by the Bell. The restaurant is called Saved by the Max.
Okay.
And it is literally a carbon copy of what the set was. It's not like inspired by where it kind of looks like it. Uh-huh. It is dead on the Max.
Huh.
Same booth or the right booth in the right place, down to like crazy detail of people. And they sold tickets to eat there.
Uh-huh.
And it is sold out all throughout the summer. And the restaurant is pop up because it's temporary. It's going to be there for a while and go away. But the guy who played Max on Saved by the Bell actually is the proprietor of this thing. And he's dressed like he did back then. A little less hair, but still kind of freaky and weird.
That's fun.
So there you go. It'd be fun to check out, but I believe there's no way to get a ticket anymore.
No.
But just a cool thing. Anyway, I have a few letters. I have a few stories that I'd like to share, but today I'll just start with this one. One early morning when I was small, must have been about 8, we lived in a one-bedroom apartment. I lived with both my parents and got accustomed to sleeping in the living room. And I shared my room with my little brother, older sister, and older cousin, who was about 18 years old at the time. Well, my cousin got up early this morning, earlier than 6. Remember the time because she'd wake up earlier to shower before my dad got up to go to work. So this one morning, not sure as to why we were all awake that early, my cousin came into the room and locked the door behind her as she was going to start getting ready for school. My dad had gotten up to go to shower. We knew he was in the shower because we heard him open the door and start the shower. And since we lived in a small apartment, it was hard to not hear when the shower was on. All of a sudden, we see that doorknob to the room start to shake, like when it's locked and someone is trying to get in by shaking the knob. So we all thought it was my dad who was trying to come in because he hated every time we locked the doors and he couldn't come in and check in on us. So I remember my cousin talking back to my side of the door, telling my dad in Spanish, "Uncle, hold on, I'm changing." But the doorknob and door kept shaking like it was someone who wanted to come in, and there was no response from the other side. After a few replies from my cousin to my dad and no response, she finally told my little brother, who must have been around 6 years old, to open the door. My little brother got up. When I opened the door, he just stood there frozen. When we looked on the other side of the door, there was no one there. My dad didn't even know what had been happening, as he had been in the shower the whole time, like we originally heard and thought. My mom, who would sleep in the living room, was just sitting up in her sofa bed, staring at the door from the other side of the door, also in awe as to what was happening. We all got scared, and my little brother said that when he opened the door, he felt a cold chill. We could not explain what that was. We turned on the TV to see if there had been an earthquake or anything like that, and nothing. I remember going to school and asking everyone if they felt the earthquake, but no one felt it either. It was so weird and scary for us. Thank you. I'll write back soon. Letty.
Do you think that's kind of like when somebody knocks or something knocks 3 times and you open it and there's nobody there that could be letting spirits in? Do you think something like that is going on with the door jiggling?
It's almost like recognizing it.
It is.
Yeah. As opposed to not and then hoping it goes away and maybe it will move on or go away. I don't know if that counts in the same fashion or not.
I don't know.
But I could see it, mm-hmm. you know, being along those lines. Creepy experience. Thank you. Juan writes in, I recently came across this podcast through Spotify. I'm enjoying the show while I'm at work. I have many stories and I'm sensitive to certain things. Here's one of my experiences. To this day, I still remember this incident that happened to me when I was young. It's probably around 7, maybe 8 years old. As an adult, I read and hear about houses being haunted and certain objects having something attached to them. Well, my story has to do with a pillow. I don't remember exactly where this pillow came from, but I do remember my parents used to find yard sales on the weekends and find deals, so I can only assume it came from a yard sale. When I was young, I remember constantly having nightmares where I'd wake up crying. started happening frequently. I honestly don't remember how it happened, but my mother used my pillow and he started having nightmares too. I told him I was having nightmares. So we kind of figured it had something to do with the pillow. We finally ended up telling our parents and they didn't seem to believe us, but my father decided to sleep with us. Sure enough, he had nightmares as well as my mother. Later on, my dad brought this up to his stepfather and he laughed about it and didn't believe the whole nightmare pillow. So my father brought the pillow to him and he used it. Sure enough, he had nightmares as well. I do remember the pillow was removed from my grandparents' home and disposed of and never really talked about after that. Now, I know the power of suggestion could come into play with this, but to this day, I still find it odd and creepy that a pillow, of all things, could cause nightmares. I've had many experiences, especially late at night. There are times when I could tell when something bad was going to happen. I have many stories to share, but this is my first to share with y'all. I wrote this in a rush, so please excuse my grammar and whatnot.
You know, you spend a lot of time sleeping. You know, you spend so much of your life that way mm-hmm. that it makes sense that a lot of your energy could be absorbed into that pillow.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of secondhand pillows.
No.
I mean, throw pillows are one thing, but when it's like the nighttime pillow that you're sleeping on, you know, I know hotels, obviously, you have a lot of recycled pillows there, but in a lot of hotels, you know, that's gotta be something they go through quite often,
mm-hmm.
you know, just as far as them getting worn down and
sure.
smelly and God knows what else.
Mm-hmm.
But I, as far as buying one used for that type, yeah, not even just a creepy factor, but just the germ factor.
Well, here's the thing about that I find odd, and maybe I'm totally out of line, but I can't think of any time that I have seen pillows, you know, for sale at like a yard sale or whatever. Most mm-hmm. of the time people use them and then they throw them away.
Sure.
You just don't see that very often.
It would be the item, if you're at a yard sale that is selling pillows, they're probably also selling their used underwear.
Yeah, that
would be
shit.
Mm-hmm. That would be the like tact of like that individual. Like, mm-hmm. why would you sell this? And it's like all worn and tattered. And it's like, yep, not an item really to put up for sale there.
No.
So anyway, good story. Thank you for sharing those experiences with us. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you all for calling in, writing in. If you like the show, please support it. Become an EPP. Sign up on the website, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.